for the faith of our fathers. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And I'd like to read you some scripture there this morning in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. If you're familiar with this story here in the book of 1 Kings 19, you know that we're dealing with the ministry of one of the greatest men in the Old Testament, Elijah. Elijah, the man of God. Elijah went through times like every man of God goes through. Times when he was way on the mountaintop, and then times when he was way, way down in the valley. Times when he had the power of God, and times when he wondered where God was. Most Christians go through those times. But I want you to notice how the Lord dealt with his man here in this scripture, and God will deal with you like that in your Christian life. Let's look at it here in verse number 1, 1 Kings chapter 19. Verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. Some prayer request, wasn't it? Anybody got any prayer requests? Elijah, I do. Pray that I'll die. And that's really being honest about it, wasn't he? Amen. He said, it is enough. You ever said that? I've had it. Now, Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, touched him, said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. He said, it's too much for you, Elijah. You need help. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abimelech, or somebody like that, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And God took Elijah through that low time and brought him out and used him. Now, I want to preach to you for just a few minutes this morning on the subject, strength for your weakest hour. Strength for your weakest hour. One of the most wonderful things I've noticed about living for the Lord, all these years that I've been trying to preach and trying to live for Jesus, has been right when you need Him most, and right when you think that nothing can save you, and right when you think it's all over with, and right when you think that your hope is gone, the Lord shows up. He's always done that for His people. Don't despair, child of God. There's somebody watching over you. You know, somebody said the Lord watches little children day and night, and He's always on you. And somebody said, some little kid said, the Lord loves me so much He can't take His eyes off me. That's true, you know it. The Lord loves you so much He can't take His eyes off you. Well, Elijah was a man of prayer. He had just prayed the fire down from heaven one chapter before this. I mean, as he stood over there on the mountain and those 450 false prophets stood around him. Oh, Elijah went out there and prayed something like 18 or 20 words, and the fire of God fell and licked up that water and consumed the sacrifice. He had the power of God on him. 450 false prophets had been consumed. Elijah was a man of prayer. But I want you to notice this morning, when Elijah looked at Israel's spiritual weakness, Elijah became weak. Now, one of the most disheartening things to a Christian is to look around and see the spiritual condition of people. Boy, you look around and you see that there's very few seemingly even cares about the things of God. We're right here in the Bible Belt, they call it. We're right here where the Bible is preached on every hand. And there's churches everywhere. But when you look around, it seems like there's very few people that really even care about the things of God anymore. It seems like it's few and far between where you'll meet people that say, yeah, I love Jesus. I love God. I want to do what the Lord. Oh, Elijah, he looked around and he seen people quitting. Nothing will knock the wind out of your spiritual sails any more than looking around and seeing somebody that you had confidence in, seeing somebody who used to maybe sing or play the piano or preach or teach, and they just quit serving God. Boy, that's a real letdown. I mean, boy, if you're not careful, that'll just eat away at your heart. And it'll get down there and you'll start thinking, Lord, what is happening? Lord, has everybody fell by the wayside? Lord, is there anybody left serving God? That's what made Elijah think that he was the only one left. Now, he wasn't, of course, but he thought that he was. And the devil, he'll get you to thinking that nobody cares but you. He'll get you to thinking that everybody has denied the Lord and everybody's backslid but you and nobody's serving God. You know, we're out street preaching. Sometimes we'll be out street preaching. We'll see even church members will walk by and maybe just turn their head and act like they don't even want to be associated with that type of thing. And boy, that's disheartening. It really is. It hurts down deep inside when church members don't even care enough to bring their own kids to church and serve God. It hurts. It really does. But here in these times and dark times and troublesome days, when we're like Elijah, when we're weak, we need to realize that when we're weak, He is strong. Elijah seen Israel break their vows. Israel had made a vow to serve God, but went back on it and broke them. Israel had torn down their altars in which they offered sacrifices to Jehovah and had built false altars and built them to Baal. Oh, how that must have hurt that man of God in his heart when he looked around and saw people that used to serve God now going off on the Lord's day and not even going to the altar of God and quit serving
it. I tell you, a lot of people don't realize it, but a preacher's got feelings too. A lot of people say, well, you can just treat the preacher like a dog. It don't bother him a bit. A preacher's a man, a person and a human being just like you. He has feelings. He gets discouraged. He gets hurt. He gets bothered. And Elijah did. But oh, Elijah, brother, he said, Lord, what is wrong? Lord, your people don't even care. Lord, your people won't even serve you and worship you. But then something happened that made it worse. There was another thing that made Elijah's life worse. He had the threat of Jezebel. Now, Jezebel was a wicked, wicked woman. Brother, I mean wicked. She was walking wickedity. I ain't kidding. I mean, brother, she was, if there is such a thing as wickedness in flesh, it was Jezebel. Buddy, I mean to tell you, that woman was so full of the devil, it ain't even funny. And you know what? She was the king's wife. She was high up in politics. And she gave old Elijah a phone call. And Elijah, somebody said, Elijah, it's for you. He picked up the phone. You know, they didn't have phones. I'm just telling you so you understand. And boy, they got around and she said, all right, buddy, you took care of them 450 prophets, but I want to tell you something. Gods, she said, the gods, she didn't believe in the real God. The gods do so to me and more also if I don't make your life like their life by this time tomorrow. That was a nice way of saying you've got 24 hours to live. And she told Elijah, it's over. We're going to send out a crew and they're going to execute you. Buddy, I'll tell you what, if you don't believe that can happen, you get preaching in the ministry and start trying to do something for God, and right when it seems like everything, the bottoms fell out of everything, then you'll get a phone call that tires you all to pieces. And then, I've got them, boy. I've got them in the middle of the night. I mean, you don't know what it's like to be all struggling and defeated and doing your best and trying to study and got a headache and kids running around the house screaming and hollering. About that time a phone rings and a Sunday school teacher says, I quit. Or somebody says, I just give it up. The devil's tempting me and I threw in the towel. When it's times like that, it's when you get weak. And Elijah got weak. He heard bad news. He thought he was finished. Have you ever thought you was finished? Have you ever thought it's over for me? Have you ever thought I'll never make it through this battle? I bet you there's somebody here this morning. You're going through the hardest time of your life right now. You may be weak physically. You may be weak spiritually. The devil's tempting you like you've never been tempted before. The only reason you're here this morning is because you just made yourself come. There's never been a time when you've been this weak. There's never been a time when your heart's been this cold. There's never been a time when you've been this discouraged. There's never been a time when you felt more like giving up. You're just like Elijah was, but God gave me a word to give to you, and I'm going to pass it on to you this morning. Thank God Almighty in heaven, He'll give you strength in your weakest hour. When you're weak and you can't do nothing, that's when God steps in that He might get glory. Turn this microphone on, please. Now I'm going to tell you what, brother, he had that threat of Jezebel. Notice Elijah's conclusion. He concluded that everybody was backslid. He concluded that Jezebel was going to kill him. He concluded that I'm the only one left trying to do right. And finally he said, Lord, let me die. He just gave up. I'm glad God don't take us serious when we pray like that. I prayed that way. You say, Lordy mercy, preacher, it ain't never got that bad. I've said, Lord, why don't you just kill me? Somebody come in with a gun, I'd change that prayer. In a second. Now the truth is we want pity. Amen. Don't we really just feel sorry? It's pitiful. God, look how I'm being treated. Lord, nobody appreciates me. Lord, look at all the stuff I do for the church and everything. And now my own friends don't even care. Lord, I won their children to Jesus. I preached to them the Bible. I taught them in Sunday school. And now they just stab me in the back. God, it's not fair. That's the way we get. That's the way we get. That's the way we get. Sometimes I wonder if we're serving people or we're serving God. If you're serving God, it don't matter what people do or don't do. Amen? That's right. But I tell you what, boy, when we're weak, then He comes in. I tell you what I done one time. I remember one time, I was 19 years old. Last time I had a wreck, I was 19. I better watch it when I say that right now. I was 19, buddy. One wreck taught me a lesson. I've had one bad wreck in my life. I was 19. Somebody said, you ever had, was it your fault? I've never had one wreck that was my fault when I was awake. And that was my fault. I went to sleep on the interstate. I was driving a little old Toyota pickup truck. I was flying down through the ice back when the speed limit was 70. When the speed limit was 70, everybody went 80. And you know, I was going down the interstate just a flying. And I was going to Hickory like this, and I just dozed off. I was wore out. I'd been to Florida, and we'd been down there witnessing, giving out tracts and stuff. I come down the interstate just a flying, and boy, all of a sudden, I looked up and I saw the back end of a trailer. Just like that. Back end of a tractor and trailer. Now I went up underneath that thing and got a little bar where them guys step in it, square down like that, where the driver can put his foot on there, you know, and get up in. I reckon that's what that's for. That thing being up underneath that, caught on the motor, the windshield hit me right in the face and splattered. I've got cuts. You see them little, sometimes you can see, you thought I was getting old, didn't you? Them scars on me. I tell you, I ain't kidding where it cut me there. I've got a big cut right here on my arm where I was driving. I had on a pair of sunglasses. It's the only thing that kept me from getting my eyes put out. I'll never forget, I ain't been saved but just about 10 months, and I've been in the Word of God reading it, and boy, I remember it must have knocked me out, bound to have knocked me out, because I saw the back of that truck and I heard it go crash like that, and then immediately there's about 50 people around me. So there had to be a time there when I was just out cold, the steering wheel's mashed down on my legs, and I remember I woke up and I was bleeding, had blood all over my arm, and the first thing I'd done was started reaching in the floor for my Bible. I knocked my Bible in the floor, and I started reaching in the floor like that for my Bible, and I pulled it up there, and then I was a weak. Blood was running out of me. I couldn't hardly think. I didn't even know where I was at. There was a verse of Scripture come to me just as plain as day, just like you'd put it in a tape player and turn it on, and it's Isaiah 40 and verse 29, and it said, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. I'll never forget that. It was just like God said, I'm right here with you. This didn't happen by accident. Nothing happens by accident. This is for a reason. Thank God this morning, He right in your weakest hour, right when you're low and you think you can't get no lower, that's when God shows up. That's when God will give you power. Don't give up when you're in those hard times. That's the time to hang in there. And you know, I've noticed the Lord doing that over and over and over. You know, I come out there. Old David Wood preached out there at the camp one day this week, and he got to telling about one time he's running the bus route. He said, me and my wife visited something like 200 trailers every Saturday to build our bus route. And he said, you know anything about the bus ministry? You know this for sure. If you don't visit the homes, they don't come to church. That's all they are to it. And he said, we were out there. He said, I've done that week after week after week after week. And he said, I got discouraged. He said, I got to where I'd sat. He said, one Saturday morning, he got up and it was real pretty, and he just said, phooey on the bus route, phooey on the bus, phooey on the kids, I'm going fishing. Sounds like somebody in the Bible I've heard of, don't you? He said he got his boat hooked up to the back end of his truck, got his fishing pole out, got his boots, got everything, got his hat on. I mean, boy, he's just going out the door like that and go fishing. And he said, as he started out the door, there's a voice spoke to him, not an audible voice, but just as plain as day, the Holy Ghost said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And he went. He said, that wasn't me. I had my mind made up to waste that day. But he said, God spoke to me. He said, I went in there, took my hat off, laid my fishing rod down, unhooked that boat from there. He said, them kids is going to hell if I don't tell them. Their mom and daddy's going to hell if somebody don't reach them. I went out there and knocked on them doors and told them people about Jesus. You know something? We ain't half as good as we think we are. If it wasn't for God, there would none of us be right with the Lord this morning. He's the one that, He works in you both to do and the will of His good pleasure. Hey, you think, well, I'm something. Praise God. Everybody else laying over at the lake, and I'm here in the house of God. It was God that put that desire inside you. Thank God He gives power to the faint, and them that have no might, He increases strength. Yes, sir. I'll never forget hearing the story. I remember out there at the camp the other day. You know, I was praying. Usually, I don't know if you that ain't preachers can understand this, but I know all you preachers know exactly what I'm talking about. When you pray, and it's not like God talks to you in an audible voice, but it's just like you know. Amen. You know when you're on track. You know when you've got the right word. Boy, I like it when I know that I've got the right word. Monday night, I preached out there. It come a big storm. We had to abandon the tent. I thought it was going to fall. And I said, go down there. We sang out on the porch about 45 minutes. Went back up. Had a wonderful service. It cooled off. And boy, we was determined not to give up. And had a little girl got saved at the end of that service. Well, I went home, boy, and I was more determined. I thought, boy, I better pray and really get ready for Tuesday night. So I tried my best to get ready for Tuesday night. I prayed every time. I'd run around. And while I was doing all my other stuff, making radio tapes and doing my normal job, I was trying to pray for that service. I could not get it settled what I was going to preach. I went home right before I left. I prayed all that evening. Right before I left, I told them, I said, pray for me. I said, y'all pray for me. I don't even know what I'm going to preach on. I went out the door. You'd think you'd get used to that after 19 years, but you never ever get used to that feeling. I mean, you're nervous, you're scared, you're worried. And boy, I went out there and I the whole time they're doing their other thing, the other preacher, I was walking back and forth and I was praying, oh God, please, Lord didn't give me nothing. I started flipping through notes, you know. Notes you fall back on in case the Lord don't give you nothing. And I was flipping back and forth and I just couldn't. I mean, I thought, well, I can get up and preach and I know it's true, but Lord, it'd be nice if you'd just speak to me and give me the right message. I like to word myself to death. Well, it wasn't but a minute till the Parker family got up and they began to sing. And boy, I mean, they sung a couple of songs. Amen. Praise the Lord. On about that third song, there's a breeze coming through there. God started moving in that service. Them young people started. One old boy back there in the back stood up and said, well, hallelujah. It wasn't long until somebody else started praising the Lord. Next thing I knowed, there people was a shouting and crying. Before I even thought, I jumped up and started giving an invitation. And next thing I knowed, it was after dark. And it was about 10 after 9. And we had sung and shouted and praised God for about 2 hours. And I put in about 10 little sentence sermons along the way, and they sung for about an hour, I reckon. And there's about 8 got saved that night, and 1 after the service, and 1 the next morning, and God moved in there, and I mean, it just got the ball rolling, and the ball kept rolling Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and I believe every one of them just about left saved this week. And after that service, I thought, well, that's why you didn't give me no message. And the Lord said, see, dummy, you could enjoy this whole evening and just shouted it out if you'd have just trusted me like that. I said, well, how do I know that's going to happen? He said, you don't know what's going to happen. Just trust me. Let me tell you something. If you pray and you do the best you can and you're right with God in your heart and you've done everything you know to do and brother, you ain't harboring no sin in your life, and there's nothing between you and God, I don't care how bad it looks, I don't care how dark it seems, just sit back and watch God take care of it one way or another. He's doing every time. Amen. It may not be in the way you want, it may not be in the time you want, but God gives strength in your weakest hour. Well, the good news was Elijah hears from God. First thing the Lord does, He sent an angel. And Elijah was laying there asleep, and the angel kicked him and said, get up. And he got up and he said, bake you a cake. He fixed him a little cake. That's a picture of the bread from heaven, the Word of God. And he fixed him a little crude, like a vase of water. He said, eat this bread and drink this water. And oh, Elijah, you know, he's running. He took off running from Jezebel. Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you. And he took off running. He run and run and run and run and run. And he just wore himself out, fell down under a juniper tree and said, I've had it. God, this far as I can go, I'm discouraged. He is in the same shape some of you are in this morning. But right when he got down there, God sent that angel, and there was that bread and that water. You know what that's a picture of? The bread of life and the water of life. You know what the Bible said? As thirsty waters are to earth, cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Let me tell you something. Brother, I've been down and out before, and a man of God get up and start preaching about God and start telling you how good it's going to be over yonder, and you just like drinking ice cold glass of water with that good news from that far country. Let me tell you this morning, child of God, take heart. Take heart! If you're saved this morning, take heart. There's good news from the far country over yonder. Everything's alright. God's still on His throne. God still cares. God still loves you. And He'll see you through. There's one thing about God. He finishes what He starts. And if God's ever saved you, buddy, you just sit back and enjoy the ride and learn to trust Him. He'll see you through this thing one of these days. Oh, Elijah, God. I imagine Elijah ate that bread, you know, and jumped up there, you know. And he was worried about everybody being backslid. He was worried about everybody. And Elijah jumped up and he said, I just heard from heaven and everything is all right now. Isn't it wonderful how that can happen? Yeah. Have you ever been just tore all to pieces and get in your secret prayer place and God speak to you? That's what you need. That's what some of you folks need this morning. Yes, you need to get to that place of prayer, a secret place, and when God speaks to you, everything will be all right. But it's amazing. I like Brother McGee, he's preaching last Sunday night. Isn't it amazing how that God can just say one little word and just... Amen. Just say, Lord, just let me know you're there. Just let me know you're still with me. But when He finally does, everything's all right. He just heard from a far country. I like that song the Florida girls used to sing all the time here. Boy, I loved it. And many times that song's helped me. When life's burdens overtake you, and your strength is small and all this kind of stuff, there is strength in the Lord. If you're looking to me to get your strength this morning, you're looking the wrong place. I'm just telling you about the one that gives you strength. Look to Him, people. Look to Him. You'll never, ever be disappointed. I remember one time I've been down. I don't get discouraged that much. I'm too hard-headed. A lot of people say, Brother Danny, don't you ever get discouraged? I say, well, I believe I have a time or two. And they say, what? Are you telling me the truth? I say, honest, I'm telling the truth. They ever since I got saved, they've been like something just turning inside me. It's just like wheels down in there. And no matter how bad it gets, I can still feel them wheels turning. Do you feel like that? I mean, it's just like sometimes I'm stuck in the mud. And mud's about this deep. But the wheels are still turning. And I know as long as them wheels turn, I'm going to come out of that thing. And brother, I mean, just calm down. I've been stuck before. Don't worry about it. Don't get excited. It won't be long. We'll just grind right on through. That's something inside you. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I tell you, bless your soul this morning. We've got something living on the inside of us that's greater than anything in this world. We've got something. Trusses. I like to got killed. And boy, I tell you what, delayed reaction there. Did you know something? So many people will be in here. After we're done gone, you'll be just dismissing. Did you know something? Now where was I? Oh yeah, when the trusses fell. Them things fell, boy. And I remember some other things happened. They said Osher's gonna come down here. And look the building on, they might shut the building program down. I thought, oh Lord, you mean we done all that for nothing? We sunk all that money in there, now this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And there's a whole bunch of other problems with outward fightings, with inward fears and all that. And boy, I mean bad things going on. And I remember I took it like a man. I remember standing out here on the street one that day crying. And I couldn't hold it back. I didn't want to cry. Newspaper was here, policeman was here. And I started crying out here on the street. And I saw this building. Now the whole front, where that rock part is, fell over on busted the front of a guy's truck. truck all to pieces and just blocks laying everywhere and this much of wood in here. And I started crying. I just busted out there like that. Newspaper man standing here saying, Reverend Castle, why do you think the boy I wanted to... say something nice to him. But anyway, boy, I'll tell you, it was the more I could stand. It was honestly more I could stand. And I thought, Lord, I've got to stand. These people are looking at me. God, help me be strong. And I'd try to stand. Y'all seen me in the pulpit many times stand when I didn't feel like standing. I'm sure I have you too. But I'll never forget one day up there in my office in the old building before this building was ever completed. I got down on my knees and I was at my wit's end. I ain't kidding you. I got down on my knees and I said, God, this is about it for me. You're going to have to do something. I feel like I was a straw about to break with the wind blow. I said, help me, Lord. And buddy, I'll tell you what, God heard my prayer in heaven. And that very day, that very evening, within a few hours, things begin to turn around and things begin to change. And God moved and gave me strength in my weak hour. Let me tell you something. We'd never know God's power if God didn't let us get in hard places. Listen, the Hebrew children would have never seen the fourth man if they hadn't have got thrown in the fire. Daniel would have never saw the hand of the Lord shut a lion's mouth unless he'd have wound up in the mouth of that lion. If you've never been through a battle and you've never been through a trial, you don't realize the power that God has to take you through those things. So if you're going through a valley and if you're going through a time when the devil's throwing everything he's got at you, just say, God's given me a test and I've got to pass this test, and by the grace of God, I'm going to trust the Lord and do right and not give in till the Lord gives me strength in my weakness. Buddy, it'll happen. God was not ready for Elijah to die. And I thank God this morning, if God ain't ready for you to die, you ain't going to die. Amen. He's ready for you to die. Every doctor in the world can't keep you here. Lord said, I want you to touch somebody. That's right. He went over and laid hands on Hazael, and anointed him to be king over Judah, I believe. And he went over and had to lay hands on Jehu and anoint him to be king over Israel. God said, I've got somebody's life. I want you to touch, Elijah. I ain't ready for you to die yet. I ain't ready for you to quit. I've got things for you to do, boy. I'm going to use you. Right when the devil's throwing everything he's got at you this morning, Christian. You know, this time of year is the easiest time of year to get out of church. Why, this vacation spirit, living up mountains, scenery, picnics, weather's warm, morals loose, music loud, spirits out. Who wants to be in a building, you know, on a beautiful day like this when all the family are gathering? Yes, sir, brother. He'll throw everything in his power. He's got it, you. I'm telling you this morning, friend, if you'll just hang in there and realize there's strength in the Lord, he's wanting to bring you through this because he's got somebody's life he wants you to touch. It may be your own boy or girl. It may be a brother or sister. God wants to bring you through your weak time because he wants to use you to touch somebody's life. Don't give in. Don't give in. Don't give up, child of God. Well, there's somebody you can touch for the Lord. There's somebody I can touch for the Lord. You know, I don't believe if you're living for God, you can't die till he gets through with you. You're indestructible. You people say, well, when your time comes, you're going to go. But did you know who determines your time? The Lord does. That reminds me of that old black fellow a long time ago. They was trying to get him to go up my airplane. He wouldn't go. And the pilot said, oh, come on, we'll just go up there and we'll fly around a few times. He said, no, sir. And getting up me up in that thing, I would get killed. And the pilot told him, he said, well, you can't go till your time comes. He said, that's right, that's right. He said, well, you believe that, don't you? And he said, yeah, I believe that. You can't go to your time come. He said, well, come on, get up there. Let's fly around a few times. He said, no, sir, I ain't getting in that thing. He said, well, you can't go to your time comes, can you? He said, no, sir, but we're liable to get up there in your time might come. Yeah. Amen. I want to tell you something, buddy. You ain't going to know where God gets through with you. Now, that don't mean go out here and act a fool and jump off buildings and stuff like that. Because you can make it you can make it your time if you want to go out there and step in front of a car. But I'm saying, if you're right with God, oh, I know the Lord's took care of me. Let me give you an illustration. March the 1st, 1950. This is a true story.
Westside Baptist Church in Beatrice, Nebraska. Have a Saturday evening choir practice. Every Saturday evening they had it. They had it nearly at 7:30. The choir members would always arrive between 7:15 and 7:30 that evening. One of the most unusual things happened. They had a disaster that day that had never happened before. Some strange things happened before it. The pastor went to church early that evening so he could be ready when the choir members got there. Suddenly, he decided he'd go home, and he wound up eating while he was at home and spending some time with his wife and daughter. They were getting ready to come on back to the church when his daughter had something spilled on her dress, and they had to go back and change her, and it made them late. A sophomore in high school named LaDonna had geometry problems. She was always early for choir practice, but worked on her geometry and didn't get through till right at 7:30. Two sisters that always came to choir practice, car wouldn't start. They called LaDonna, and she wouldn't come and get them because she's working on her math problems. Mrs. Schuster and her daughter usually arrive at 7:20, but her mother was old and kind of bad off. They went by to check on her mother and made them late. One of them was getting ready to write a very important letter and had been putting it off, and later said, quote, "I don't know why, I just had to write that letter." One of them was a machinist named Harry Orr. He was going to take his two boys to choir practice, wound up in a conversation with a man, and looked at his watch, and he was late. The piano player, Marilyn Paul, decided to come one half hour early, but fell asleep and didn't wake up until late, and got there late also. The choir director and the pianist's mother, Mrs. Paul, couldn't come, was late because of her daughter. Two other high school girls were late. One of them was listening to a radio program that went from 7 to 7:30 and wanted to hear it all, and they were late. At 7:25, Westside Baptist Church in Beatrice, Nebraska blew up. There was a gas leakage, and it filled the place with fumes and ignited, blew the walls out the front. It just exploded the whole building. And not a one of the choir was there. It had never happened before that the people were late. You say, "What time did you say choir practice was?" Now, don't be late. Be here on time. You say, "I'm going to wait about 15 to 6. I can see what's going to happen." That's an unusual story. One fellow went down there in a church over in Washington, D.C. years ago. Man came in with a revolver. They just took up the offering. He held him up at gunpoint, took the offering. Some of the church leaders got brave, followed that guy in the parking lot, attacked him from behind. They started scuffling around. He pointed the gun at them and fired, and the gun didn't go off. The police got there a little bit and made their arrest after the scuffle, and proved for the record the gun was loaded and ready to fire. But it didn't go off. It's like God saying, "We need that offering this week. Put his hand down there. Appreciate them boys doing what they're supposed to." I'm telling you this morning, the last thing I'll say and I'm closing, Elijah did eat and did arise and was strengthened. And he went in the strength of that bread 40 days. God gave him a shot that day and he went 40 days on. Ate bread from heaven, drank a cruise of water. You know, it's in those hard times, in those dark times when you can't feel God, that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know what you need to do this morning, some of you? Here's where you're at. You're laying under the tree. You've all but given up. You've just about threw in the towel. You think it ain't? It ain't you like it used to be, Brother Danny. God used to bless me. I can't feel his presence anymore. Let me remind you that right when you get to the end of your rope, that's when he steps in. Don't give up. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer. I
preach to you this morning on strength in your weakest hour. They're coming to get us a song this morning. We'll not take long. We're going to give just a real brief invitation. There's somebody here this morning that needs strength in your weakest hour. This is nothing to be ashamed of. This is nothing to let pride stand in your way and cause you to refuse God's help. The Lord laid this message on my heart for some reason. For somebody. I ain't never seen a time in my life when Christians are being hit like they are today. For heaven's sake, friend, don't give in. Don't give up. There's a better day ahead. God will give you strength for your weakest hour. Father, please move on the hearts of people here this morning. Thank you for these that's already come. Oh God, for my brothers and sisters here this morning that are weak and around the world that are weak, give them an extra dose of strength. Send them down some bread from heaven. Oh Lord, do it, I pray. We'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name.